This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, this is Frida Liu. You're listening to Her Vantage on Enterprise, and Her Vantage is where we speak to women of influence and leadership. It is no secret that jobs in the tech industry are blooming and one of the fastest growing in the world, but can we justify that females are being left behind in the industry? Prior to today, Lava Protocols has talked to us about data visualization, digital ads, cloud computing and social media, but the focus today will be on women and why it matters to have them in the IT industry. Traditionally perceived as a male-dominated industry, I have with me Ruben Nakiran, Legal and Communication Manager, and Banita Nair, Director of Digital Solutions Lava Protocol, to bust the myths and misconceptions and enlighten us with their stand on women in the tech industry. Welcome, ladies.
Hi.
So, coming from the tech industry company yourselves, what is the culture like in Lava?
So, pretty much we have about 50-50. Mm-hmm. So, we have about 15 females and 15 males. But I think in Lava, we always have an open door concept. So our boss has an open door concept where if there's any issues or any issues you want to raise, you just walk in. So when, even during hiring, we don't have a preference to gender. So as long as you have the skill sets and the experience and you're really good at a job, then I think you're pretty much hired as well. Mm. So, yeah. In my experience, I've been working there for about 7 years. Never had any issues as a female working there as well. Yep.
Mm. Yeah. So, well, I've been there for about 2 years plus now. And I have to say that if you have a great idea and it works, you know, regardless of your experience or your gender even, you can just walk in basically and tell to any of the head of departments, like, you know, look, so I've got something that I think might work, and you know, it goes. And when it comes to hiring, as Vanita mentioned, I really don't think gender plays a role. If you fit the bill, mm-hmm. if you have what it takes, then you're pretty much hired.
Okay, I guess when you say it fits the bill as well, it's 50-50, right? Mm-hmm. Would that be a conscious effort that it was 50-50, or by default?
It wasn't planned.
It wasn't planned.
Okay. We realized because we were looking at the numbers and you know, it kind of split right down in the middle. So it was 15 male and 15 female.
Correct. Okay, correct. So it was based on merits that these people have been hired, yes. and it just happened to be 50-50. So yep. it's a nice story. Yeah. One day we hope we get to that, right?
Yeah.
You know, so when you talk about so what sort of culture does Lava prioritize and emphasize on? A very open door kind of?
Yep. It's definitely an open door. Yep. Doesn't matter which department, whether it's the mm-hmm. technical department or, you know, the administrative side, mm-hmm. They're very open to constructive ideas, criticism yeah. and idea. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So for you, Vanita, mm-hmm. you're a computer science
yep.
grad. You know, when you went to university mm-hmm. and all that, mm-hmm. what were the numbers like in class?
Actually, when I was studying, well, this was about about 8 years ago. Mm-hmm. It was actually more female. Mm. I did computer science, majoring in management information systems, and it was quite surprising to see a lot of females in the class. Mm. But I think after that, not many of them, you know, for example, if there was 50 of us in the class, there was at least 25 to 30 females. But I don't think all 30 of us, because I do keep in touch with some of them, I don't think many of them actually pursued their career in the tech industry. Some of them went into, you know, advertising, some of them went into media. So, you know, that is their conscious decision to make. But I think the tech industry definitely need more women in
okay.
as well.
Yeah. All right. Now, what are some of the trends and growth you've seen of women in the tech industry? How has it progressed over the timeline, or has it not?
If you say about 20 years ago, maybe it was completely a male-dominated industry. It still is, but the percentage is slightly lower now. So, you know, there's more women. So, for example, if you say tech, it used to be very niche. It used to be very niche industry, but it's no longer niche because everything is about tech right now. It's about mobile applications. Software is not just about electronics, for example, not just hardware. So there's a lot more roles, and most of the roles, especially customer fronting roles or business roles, I think women play a better role. I mean, they are more capable because they are very detail-oriented. So some roles in the industry, you really need to focus into the details. I mean, men are, I mean, I wouldn't say much, but they're not very detail-oriented.
We're not generalizing, but the...
So you know, for example,
it's kind of true,
yeah,
that men, exactly, women do kind, yeah, of pay attention to details, yeah, more than,
correct,
men do.
So for example, if there's a role called business analyst role, it's a crucial role in our company where, you know, we do certain analysis or we study customers' requirements in order for us to give the better solution. But in order for you to do that, you need all the details. Mm. So most of them in the company who are business analysts are actually female. Mm-hmm. So, you know, because they drill into the details and they need to ensure the scope is, you know, correct. I mean, everything is detailed out.
Yeah.
So
actually, we had a talk with one of our senior business, mm-hmm, analysts, and she herself mentioned that the client, it wasn't us, but the clients who actually quoted saying that when it comes to understanding the problems that the customer is facing, women sort of tend to get into the details.
And that came from a male client.
Yeah, it came from a male client. Yes, so, yes, you know, I mean, it was from their mouth, not us.
Yeah, yeah.
So for yourself, were you in a legal practice prior to joining?
No, actually, I came from content. Okay. I was a writer before this with Clio Magazine. Mm. And so when this job offer came about, I thought a lot about it because I wasn't sure how the tech industry would be like, whether it would be a good fit for me. But honestly, I feel like I've made a great decision because it was absolutely not what I thought it would be. So once I came over to Love, I realized that it was a good marriage between creativity and technology for me. I got exposed to a lot of technical information, which I wasn't, you know.
Okay, so it wasn't a challenge learning it?
It was, but it was a good challenge as well because it's new. It's new information. It was new information for me. But also, we have a digital media arm called Lava Media. Mm-hmm. And over there is where I felt like, you know, I kind of got to put a little bit of my previous working experience to practice. Mm-hmm. So we were able to come up with campaigns and as well as creating content for website development for our clients.
Okay.
And it's great stuff. When we're building applications or even products, you actually get to sit down with the technical team and they break it down for you. So it's nice in a way to sort of make something that's technical and making it a lot more understandable for the layperson. So it's interesting.
So when you say joining the tech industry, there's actually a lot of work within the tech industry, right?
Wide area.
There's a creative side and there's of course your background, technology side as well. And there's so many areas. Yeah. So not to be fear. So there were fears going to a tech industry for you.
For me, so
right?
Like,
coming from Clio Magazine.
Yeah. there was definitely a fear, and I took a long time thinking about whether I should accept the job, but you know, so that is a perception that was completely shattered.
Have you guys faced any, you know, gender discrimination in your years of working?
Well, to be honest, not really. I have not experienced, but you know, you hear things from other, you know, partners, colleagues, or other people that you work with, but personally, no, I've not. Yeah.
Yeah, neither have I, but because we're in the tech industry, so we do hear, you know, like whispers going around that our male counterparts do sort of prefer, you know, men taking on the more technical roles, but I think it's absolute rubbish because we have had the opportunity of working with women who are, you know, taking on really technical roles such as web developers, and the rate that they were working, they were able to get a job out of the way and they were like, you know, what's next? They worked that fast. So I really think
some of the common misconceptions, I guess, would be in this sort of thing, like, oh,
I think a guy would probably, like, you know, make a
better developer or better programmer or something like that. But, you know,
rubbish,
no, I don't think so.
Yeah.
So obviously, like, even in your case already, growing up, you never felt that kind of, like, what a girl can do, what a guy...
No, it wasn't brought up that way. Mm-hmm. I was more like a boy when I was growing up anyway, so...
I suppose our background plays a huge role. We've been very lucky to come from, like, you know, families that... they don't highlight the fact that, you know, you're a girl and therefore, you know, you're
kind of
limited.
It's not like you're a girl, you shouldn't do this sort of a thing. All they told me when I was younger, just sit like a girl. That's it. That's all they did.
Cross your legs.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. Yeah. Now, what do you think is the root cause of all these misconceptions of women in any workforce, or more specifically in the tech industry?
Okay,
background. So first of all, it's much more like what you mentioned before, it's also cultural because, you know, it's about how you were brought up. So, for example, if you take tech industry, the most dominated department would be the technical department. But within Lava, for example, there's half of the company resources are in the technical department, and half of that technical department are actually female. Mm. So, like I mentioned, it's cultural. So it comes from how you're brought up as well. All right. Secondly, it's the place that you work with. Mm. Okay. When you say, for example, there's an article out saying that, you know, like Google, Apple, you know, and Facebook, for example, there's about 70% male. But when you work in that sort of an environment, then I guess you could potentially feel intimidated when you work with a lot of males, for example. But when you work in a company where you have a lot of, you know, equal amount of females and males, then I think that it's also very, very soothing for yourself as a female to actually work and feel comfortable with your colleagues as well.
Mm. Okay. Pay inequality and sexual harassment. We'll talk about that in just a moment. I'm here with Aruba Nakiran and Vanita Nair from Lava Protocols. You're listening to Her Vantage from BFM 89.9.
Bringing fresh meaning. BFM 89.9.
It's Her Vantage and Enterprise. Good morning, Frida Liu here. And Her Vantage, where we speak to women of influence and leadership. I've got two ladies here with me, Ruba Nakiran and Vanita Nair from Lava Protocols. We're talking about women in the tech industry. And Ruba is in the legal and communication side of things. And Vanita is Director of Digital Solutions. She's a real techie.
I wouldn't say that. I used to be, but, you know, I choose not to.
Now, there are a couple, you know, we're just talking earlier on about how you got into industry, how there were no biases growing up as well, you know, in your decision to go into this space, right? But we've also seen a hefty amount of talk when it comes to gender equality, when one of which is pay, right? Mm. You know, what are your thoughts around that?
Well, when it comes to pay, we're not too sure about it because it's like a taboo. Yeah. Like you're encouraged to not ask about someone's pay. So we're really not sure about what our colleagues are earning, regardless of whether they're male or female. Mm. But just now we were talking about sexual harassment, and I think although I've not experienced it, nor have I seen it firsthand. Though I have heard horror stories, the reason why women don't talk about it is because, you know, they have that thing in their head where, so what happens after this? Like, there's a possibility that I would lose my job, or, you know, what's the upper management going to do? Fire me? And what next? Like, I wouldn't be able to get a job. So I've invested a lot of time and effort into getting here. I might as well just suck it up and not say anything about it.
Yeah.
So I think that's the fear. But it needs to be changed.
Right.
It needs to be changed.
But that's the thing as well, right? When maybe, you know, we don't talk about pay and everything, mm-hmm. but mm-hmm. I mean, the statistics have shown mm-hmm. that women are paid less, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
What can we then do to ensure that we are paid equally? What are some of the things that, you know, do we go up and then speak to the boss and say, you know, and be more firm when it comes to increment and things mm-hmm. like that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think for me, because about a year ago, I kind of took on more responsibility. And then, you know, I thought, okay, this is the right time for me to go and ask for a pay raise, mm-hmm. which I did, actually. Yeah. So I spoke to my head of department, and I didn't, at first, obviously, I was a little nervous, but then I realized, like, as long as I kind of put it in black and white, my achievement as mm-hmm. well as the projects that I've been working on, I thought, you know, okay, I can make a case and therefore, you know, should be sort of good to get a pay raise.
I think a lot of times, like, women are afraid to speak up.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's one thing. That's one thing, you speaking up, going to your boss and say, you know what, I deserve this. But it also is the other way around. Organization. Mm. So, you know, certain organization, you need to have structures, right? For example, if you're going to apply for this role, no matter the gender, this is what you get. So there's ranks, there's, you know, how to say,
seniority,
a table, seniority. So based on your experience, based on what, you know, how much skills you have, how well you can do it, that is what you get, no matter what, you know, the gender is, for example.
Yeah.
So there wouldn't be, in that organization per se, there wouldn't be any sort of a hierarchy in terms of,
And I think this actually needs to be like made known to the employees themselves, because I mean, if the upper management knows about it but the employees don't know, then you know, there's not much of a difference. But if they know, then I think they'd be very comfortable actually approaching their bosses and saying like, okay, since we have this transparent structure that you get a pay raise based on, you know, the amount of effort that you've put in, then I think they'd feel more comfortable actually going up, knocking on the door and saying like, look, I think it's time for me to get a pay raise.
Gimme.
Yeah, gimme more.
Okay, what about in terms of benefits for working mothers? What are some of the things the Lava Protocols do?
So we have a lot of working mothers actually in, except for the both of us, but a lot of them are married with children. Like, for example, the head of the technical team, her name is Aisha. She is a mother of a 17-year-old, and she has excelled in a career.
Excelled. For us, is like a
She was a from a story, completely tech background, meaning she was a telco engineer. She worked, you know, she worked in the telco industry. She was an engineer, and she, you know, she does all that, you know, techie stuff. And then she moved into Lava Protocols as a technical director, which is a completely different, how to say, industry. So I think, you know, she's done a fabulous job raising a son. But there's also other mothers who are actually trying to juggle between work and personal life. But, you know, it's all perception. For example, if you want to spend more time with your family, then obviously you need to cut down slightly. But, you know, when they have to, they make sure they focus on that 9-to-5 sort of a role.
Right, so there's no flexi hours at the organization at the moment?
Currently they do. But if, let's say, for example, if I need to go back and watch my son, I come to work, I you know, I focus on that work, I deliver what I need to deliver, and I go home and have fun with my children.
Take care of my family. So long as I think the work get sorted out for the day, like it's
but
not,
obviously for emergencies, for example, if my, you know, my son is sick, or you know, there's some emergency in the kindergarten or whatever, you know, that's fine, go ahead, take care of those.
What about in terms of things like maternity leave and all that? Do you all, you know, are some of these things also put into consideration?
I think maternity leave is pretty standard. I think we have about 2 months maternity leave, but obviously it changes based on industry or based on companies as well. Honestly, I'm not the right person to speak about maternity leave because
we haven't crossed that bridge.
We will when we get there.
We haven't gotten to the bridge. Okay. Now, how does you know, the involvement of women in IT industry differ from region to region? Like, for example, how do you think is it different in Western countries relative to here in Malaysia?
Right. Actually, in the ASEAN region, I think we're doing pretty all right, because based on this article that I read on Forbes, I think we have about 35% of women in senior positions in the tech industry. Indonesia and Philippines are doing quite well. But
40%, right?
Yeah. Yes, 40%. And for compared to the Western, our Western counterpart, I think we're doing better in that sense. Because oddly, although you mentioned that, you know, 70% of what do you call companies,
the workforce,
in companies such as Microsoft, IBM are, you know, male dominated. I think, yeah, we're doing better than them. We're doing better than them.
We're waiting for the day when we get to 50-50.
Yes.
Right? At least 50-50. That's what we're, you know, don't have to be more. Just equal, right? You know, so we see a growing interest amongst female youths around the globe are gearing towards the tech industry. For instance, Girls Who Code, Girls in Tech, right? Well, Girls Who Code is a growing nonprofit organization that aims to close the gender gap in the tech industry. Something you probably didn't have a couple of years ago, right? So clearly, the interest among females in tech is not that far from males. So what are the other ways that could encourage females to venture into the tech industry?
It starts young. It definitely starts young. My niece, who's 5, is going for coding classes. So there's a lot of, you know,
avenues, I think, available these days.
And that's the parents, you see.
And they're actually interested in. So, you know, they watch movies and they see all these hackers and computers, because back then we didn't have all that. I mean, it was all drama and romance. So now when they see those things, they know they're
Beauty and the Beast.
Exactly. Exactly.
Everyone's looking for their beast.
But there are a lot of platforms online which allow you, like, regardless of your age, actually, whether you're young or old, for you to actually pick up the skills, the coding skills necessary. So you have sites such as Codecademy, which is, well, if you want the premium version, you've got to pay, but a bulk of it is free. And you can learn. It's so easy. It's made Yeah. Like, you know, for kids, but even adults, women, you know, yeah. can learn how to code.
It's an online version of Code for Dummies.
Yeah. Okay. So getting children involved in exactly. coding, right? Yeah. So regardless of gender up. And yep. things yes. like that.
Correct.
And I think it's slowly changing. Probably takes another generation yep. again yep. when we get to 50-50, correct. Right? Yeah. So looking to the future, what would be Lava's approach to improving the tech scene, particularly for women?
Well, I think what we're practicing at the moment is really yeah. good. If anything, I suppose going branching out into more tech specialty yeah. because yeah. right now we have digital marketing. Mm-hmm. We have a digital marketing mm-hmm. agency, and then we also have the mobile and web yeah, development yes, side of things. Yep. And
so
then
we're just probably looking at branching a lot more than just yeah. creative mm-hmm. and tech yeah. development, for example.
And by venturing yeah. into those, we hope to open up more opportunities yeah. for women to come and join us, yeah. and that'll be great.
I mean, where was it that I read that 65% of the jobs are not created yet? You know, yeah, so exactly. you know, yeah. you never yeah. know what the future exactly. holds, right? For this space. Well, thanks for being with us, young ladies. I'm listening to Ruba Nakiran and Vanita Nair from Lava Protocols. You've been listening to Her Vantage on Enterprise BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.